go, and we're locked in. Gloucestercast 179 with our most famous guest. 5 years ago, well, 7 years ago, we probably wouldn't have said that. But now, there's a big star here. Two big stars, Nancy and Dave Marciano from Wicked Tuna. Big honor, big honor. We also have from Somerville, Massachusetts, Donna Arizoni.
Good morning, Gloucester. There you go.
And Kim Smith.
Good morning, Gloucester. There you go.
And intro music is going to get fade out now. Thanks, guys, for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Dave, you fishing right now?
Not now, actually. I just got back yesterday morning about just before sunrise from bringing the boat, steaming the boat back from North Carolina from filming the Southern Show.
So this is the second year for that?
This is our third season down there. And, that takes about 4 days. We left Wednesday morning at sunrise, and we steamed nonstop. Through the night, day and night. We pulled in once to get fuel to get home, and that's it. So I'm still recovering. Yesterday I didn't do anything. I sat on the couch all day to catch up on sleep.
How long do you have? Does it take to film that a whole season down there?
Well, even just like the show up here, like we will start out with a contract with a set date, maybe 8 weeks. But it really all depends on how much fish you catch, right? When we want to make the show... Right. They have a goal in mind, and it's roughly 3 fish per episode. So let's just say, to make it easy, right, if there's 5 boats, we want to catch 45 fish. That way, if they're going to make 10 episodes, you'll air 3 fish per episode, right? Because remember, it's not finding Bigfoot. We can't go out there and, we got to put some, to make it interesting, to make Wicked Tuna happen, you have to catch, at least, a few fish each episode. And that's kind of always the number, the rough goal is, 3 fish per episode, we can make the TV show happen. Now, more, of course, is better. We did have good fishing down there. They wrapped up filming. We were there for about 4 weeks of filming in total. We wrapped up 4 weeks early because the fishing was good. As far as how we did, because that's probably going to be the next question, I can't say, but I can say we didn't hit the bridge this year, so we're way ahead of last year as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, wow. So the most pressing question everybody's been dying about: how did you guys meet, Nancy and Dave? Because Nancy, I don't know if I did a good enough introduction. Nancy is Dave's wife, mm-hmm. behind the scenes, and they always say behind every good fisherman is the wife,
exactly.
Support system back.
Absolutely. Oh,
and I also need to say this before you start talking, because I want you to talk. So I'm a huge fan of both of your Instagram pages and your Twitter feeds and everything else. But it's always, this is really theme. And Dave always, obviously, is everybody's favorite because he's the common man on the show. But it's always, it's like family is always a huge part of your Twitter feed and everything else. It's like your big family dinners and it's huge. And I think like you guys have become America's sweethearts, and it's just really I think like the huge part of the popularity of this show is that everybody can relate to you guys. You know what I mean? Like common people, not trying to be not Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. You know what I mean? Like these, it's just like people that like just friendly, good people. And I'm sorry for. I want Nancy to talk right now. I want you to tell me the story. How did you guys meet?
Actually, his sister is a good friend of mine when we were growing up, and yeah.
That's it. You have to tell me the date.
I don't know. I used to follow him to Gloucester, and he'd go out fishing. And do you remember the flowers I used to leave on your truck?
No.
Yeah.
That was you? That was you? Flowers? You left flowers in my truck? I think the seagulls took them.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
What?
So, isn't that how we met? Like,
well, it was hanging out because, we used to hang out with Christine. And remember, what were the guys?
The
Mulcahy's and all that, right? And, it's funny back then because... Yeah, she was a friend of my sister's, and we would hang out, and, we were...
He had this mullet over here. Like, oh, and that was the first thing I did was, Well, he had this bush in my hair, and I just gave him the mullet haircut.
The guys all said, too, when I said I wanted to date you, they said, oh, she'll never go with you and all that, right? So then it became a challenge between me and the guys.
Breaking news right there. So tell me about the proposal. How the proposal go?
The proposal? I asked him to marry me.
You asked him?
Did you really?
Wow, this is a modern day woman right here. I love it. I love it. That's
love
awesome.
That.
No, well, first he gave me diamond earrings. I'm like, what am I going to do with those? Have your ears here. Oh, yes.
Well, they were better than the earrings that I used to give you, you know, from the codfish bones in the hand, weren't they?
Yeah,
I thought it was a step up from that.
Very nice. Very nice. That's awesome.
What am I going to do with those?
So Dave, we'll get to the show a little bit. So how do they select? So every year, is there a little bit of turnover in the captain?
Sure. There's always going to be, look, adding one boat is how they hope to keep the show fresh, I imagine, right? There's always going to be one new guy to take us on or show us how, or you know what I mean? And it's always a new personality. And that seems to be how it goes, whether it's up here or down south, like filming that Southern show, Wicked Tuna, Outer Banks. You know, they got a great new captain this year. I think, you know, he, number one, he was a great fisherman, caught fish, so that's always important.
Yeah,
have a guy.
Experience.
But character-wise, he's got a great personality. And, you know, little, like he's a captain. The captain of the boat has got one arm, right? So there's Dale on the Foolish Pleasure is the new boat, and you know he's got no problem joking about it, right?
Yeah.
So you know you got this guy who catches fish, and like I think he's going to be a great addition to the show because you know I really think it's the all the characters that make the show successful. You know what I mean? I don't think we all play our unique little role, right? But I think if it was any one of us, no matter who it was, if it was just one of us, it would get boring real fast, you know what I mean? So we all have kind of a unique role, and even I can see the benefit, and, you know, every year we roll out somebody new, and that has nothing to do with us, you know, I just worry about my boat and what the deal is for hard merchandise, that's my only concern, but, you know, I know they're going to look around and interview people, and hopefully, you know, the character they get will be another good addition to the show, and, you know, you've kind of seen it, there's been some boats that have came on and stuck around for a few years, and there's been other boats that, you know, and again, it's all the network, and they do, for them, it's all about ratings, and they do focus groups, and they do all that stuff, I'm sure, out in LA to figure out who's working and who's not working, you know, as far as the show goes.
So, here's what I see. So, back with the success of, what was the crabbing show? Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest
back
Catch, yeah, yeah.
Like a couple of years after that came
sure.
out, like down the dock here, there was at least 15 production crews, the pitching shows. All there was going to be a seafood show that was going to come through you know, this port or wherever, because they saw the success of that show, and it was one thing after another. And so they would come here, and they pitched a bunch of shows. They shot sizzle reels to pitch to different networks.
Yep.
And so then they come, and they put a contract in front of us. And it's pretty insulting. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like what they want to pay you and how much they... You know, it's basically they're saying, we're going to make you look like an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, you have to accept this. You know, we're going to be able to edit this whatever way we want to make it to most interesting or whatever, and we're going to pay you like $150 an hour, whatever it was. It was something completely insulting to be able to manipulate your whole facility or whatever.
Right.
And but there are people that are killing themselves to put themselves in that position, to be looked like, you know, you can be looked like a hero, or, you know, there's always going to be protagonist and antagonist. But how does where I'm going with this is, like, at this point, you know, you're like the guy, you know, there's like four main guys now.
Yep.
Do you have an agent? Because
That happens after the first season. And look, you're right. And it's all about perspective. When this all started, like, they were here for 10 days looking for boats. I had no idea. They went out and they did the sizzle reels and were on other boats. On the ninth day, they contacted me they said, hey, we got an idea for a show. You know, they tell you know about catching the tunas, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the first words out of my mouth is there a check involved? Yeah. That's what I do with my boat, right? And you're right. That first season, it wasn't much money. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I was very skeptical because you've seen me around as far as the news media goes. You know, they say we're going to make you look good. And then, you know, you do your interview and they cut it down and they kind of make you look like the ignorant fisherman, right?
Right.
And that was a concern of mine. But again, the way I looked at this whole opportunity was I thought it would be fun. They said, yeah, there's a check involved. We'll pay you. Jay and I are going to go tuna fishing anyway. They're going to look over our shoulder. At the end of that first season, you know, we didn't get rich, but it was like a bonus check, yeah. Right? Yeah. It was like catching three or four fish that we didn't catch anyway, right?
Right.
So it was a no-brainer. And my whole thought process was, yeah, it'll be fun, and someday, you know, I didn't think it would go anywhere. It's tuna fishing. I didn't think anybody would watch. Anybody who really knows tuna fishing, there ain't a lot of excitement going on there, right?
Right.
But, you know, my thoughts were, well, I'll make a little bit of money, and someday, you know, when I'm bouncing the grandkids on my knee, I'll be able to throw the DVD in and go, Grandpa used to do. I never imagined in a million years it would get to where we're at sitting here with you today, right? And it is a leap of faith. And it's funny because before it all started, we did call managers and made a lot of calls, called a lot of guys. Until that first season aired, the phone didn't ring back, right? Nobody calls you back because they're out there, you know, probably watching what's going on. And they're looking at what has potential. Because here's one thing we did learn being a part of this. And they told us up front, you know, there's no guarantee that this will be good or not. The reason they produce so many of these shows, and we're just like you, we're, wow, there's all kinds of those reality shows, right? And I watch TV. I used to watch them all. So we make it, and it's kind of a leap of faith, and you did, you know, it's like, well, if I don't do it, somebody else is going to step up. But for me, it was like, okay, again, a little bit of fun. They're cheap to produce, right? So that's why you see so many of them.
Right.
The thing is they never know which ones are going to be a success. They have shows that they think are great, and they never go nowhere, and, you know, it's really up to the audience. So right after that first season, though, now, you know, I have my publicist and my manager out in L.A., and you know, my guy is the guy. He has several other people. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure he represents, like, Penn and Teller. Because he's, you know, one of his comments in our conversations one time we met for lunch, it's like, oh yeah, those guys want to meet you. You're their favorite on the show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like, cool, I want to go to Vegas and meet Penn and Teller, right?
Yeah. But it's nice, though, to have that agent, because you don't know your worth.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And,
exactly.
And you don't want to push them too far, because I would imagine, from their perspective, If anyone thinks that they're bigger than the show, they can make an example out of you and cut you out,
right? Exactly.
So the agent kind of knows what you're, has a better idea than you know of how much we can get, but not overstep our boundaries.
You're exactly right, because when it comes down to it, it's simple business. The network has a product of the production company. They want to get their product for as cheaply as possible, right? And we're the product. We want to do is, and that's it. We didn't know the numbers, and that's why the agent I wound up choosing, like, you know, because all of a sudden the phone did ring, and everybody called back, right? And you got the agents that are like the car salesman, and I'm going to get you $1 million, and you got to do this, and some guys chose that route. And it's unfortunate, the guys who went with those type of guys, a couple of them are no longer on the show, right? The guy I went to, I liked. He was very calm, Alex Shankman. He's my manager. And he could when I had questions about that business, he could explain to me, right? He could give me answers, right? Just like if he asked me a question about fishing.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's why we had a great trade-off. And, you know, again, it was a leap of faith. It was a leap of faith, and
my smoker. That was my smoker.
Oh, right, it smelled good when we walked
in.
Yeah,
I got the pork butt on the smoker right now. So I have my alarm set, so if the temps get too high, I'm sorry.
That's all right, it's all good. And we follow that on Instagram too, right? All the cooking that goes on. But
you can cook.
Yeah. No, I'm not that good at cooking. No, I'm not at that level. All right, but You know, so it has. It's gotten good. And, you know, look, the reality is, too, is you know, I get it. I'm not Brad Pitt. We're not going to have a mansion in L.A. anytime soon, right? But for Dave the Fisherman, this has been opportunity to do things. I'm walking through doors I never imagined walking through.
Well, I see you at the NASCAR. I see you. You know what I mean? Jesus, what fun that. You guys must be having.
Oh, that was like, great. Yeah. The noise. Like, yeah. I never went to NASCAR. And all started Cole Witt, one of the guys who drives, was a fan of the show. He says, hey, I'm coming to New Hampshire. You guys want to come to the track? It's like,
so
those are all the extra things that are a great part. It has nothing to do with money, but it's a great opportunity, yeah. Right? Yeah. And she has fun doing it.
Home fishing.
Now finally, usually I'm so busy doing charters, right? I book myself, because obviously that's been a fringe benefit of the show, right? Even having the oldest, slowest boat in the harbor, you know, I get more charters than them guys with their 10 minutes,
right?
But again, that's a benefit. We're always building on that. That'll last long after the show's gone. Right, and you know, as long as I'm a decent guy, right, not a total
jerk,
right? You know, we'll be able to build on that for a long time. Yeah. We've got, you know, and it's from around the world. We've got a family's coming from some island off the coast of France this summer.
Say someone wants to book a charter with you, like what website do they go to?
Our website for our shirts and hats and hoodies and bobbleheads and all that.
It all goes through the same. It all goes through the same
right,
website.
Right. We'll get you one of the bobbleheads for your desk here too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's FV as in fishing vessel hivemerchandise.com.
Very simple to remember. Right, right. So to book a charter or to buy any merchandise, that's the spot.
Yeah.
All right, we'll make sure we'll put that in the show notes. Yeah.
Can
we see you every morning. So here's a question I want to ask you. Like, if people, I'll let you one second.
Sorry.
If people come down the wharf all the time, yep. And they're like, where are the boats? Where are the wicked tuna boats? Yeah. Where are the wicked tuna boats? Now, I know your schedule in the charter schedule, where you pick up and drop off.
Yeah, he just
do you want people to, like, because I always do, daily hard merchandise sighting, you know, as you're driving by the wharf in the morning.
Love
like,
it.
Do you mind if people know where to say hi?
Absolutely. We get it, right? We get it. And, you know, again, because when you look at the big picture, it's good for me. It's building publicity, right? That's the game I'm in now. It used to be fishing, and you've seen how the fishing industry went.
This has been
for me, I'm very lucky. This has been like a life ring, right?
Yeah.
So obviously I'm building on that. The nice thing is, you know, the more followers, all that stuff,
helps.
That's my tools now, right? Yeah. Because now all that adds into when my manager works a contract for whatever, whether it's an appearance or the next season, that's part of the formula, right? So that's how the game's played in this game. I've learned that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's worked out well for me. So I'm happy if people come down, they take a quick picture, usually to when I'm in charter mode. I have some shirts in the boat. You know what I mean? I'm happy to do that. And, you know, our charters too. You know, a lot of guys, where can we get lobsters? You know, I send them right over here, right?
Nice.
They bring their fresh lobsters back to wherever they're going. And so it's been working out good.
Well, I mean, it's amazing. Like the perfect storm before that, like the amount of money that's come into the city and has put money into so many other people's pockets because of this show and you know and the personalities, the restaurants.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know how many people come down here and they're like, oh, we're staying at the Rocky Neck accommodations. You know, we want to try and go see where the guys tie up and stuff, and try to get a sighting or something like that. They fall in love. I mean, the visual from the show, the shots that those camera guys.
That's what one of the things too I left out when you asked when this all started. The way I heard it was one of the executive producers did some work on Perfect Storm, so he was familiar with Gloucester as being scenic. We all know how beautiful Gloucester is, right?
Yeah.
And so that was one of the reasons. It's like, and then they heard about us catching these fish worth money, so boom, the concept for the show. But it all started basically Perfect Storm because of the scenery that was highlighted in that movie.
It's exponentially.
Fun. Yeah. No, it's been fun.
I'd like to watch it.
We're very fortunate. We've been living the dream, having a blast. Right? You know, now we're just finally, I slowed down enough with my charters so we can take advantage of other opportunities. Like the first week of May here, Nancy and I are going to Mexico to fish for 5 days with my reel company sponsor, the Accurate Reels, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going to Cederos Island in Mexico. And then at the end of May, a tournament over in Italy invited me over, a three-day tournament. So, you know, I'm turning into this sports fisherman now.
Dude, that's awesome.
Right. But it's like, yeah, I've never been to Italy, right? And, you know, there are all I had to do was agree to, you know, okay, sure, I'll do this, and I'll smile for the pictures over there, and, like, so we're going to Italy, and, you know,
they
the
have
tournament.
A cardboard, David in Italy, and the people are, like, you know, posing.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it's been a wild ride, and again, I, you know, for Dave the fisherman, it's opportunities I never imagined, and, you know, just now, it took time. What we learned, too, is this whole concept of these reality shows, it's like a small business. You got to build. You don't get a lot at first, but
yeah, right.
Now sticking it out, you know, it's gotten really good. Mm-hmm. It's opportunities.
Well, you got from the start, though, you got, and continuing to this day, even with your popularity, I see you still interact with your fans on Twitter and stuff like that, which is, I mean, a lot of these people are like, I'm above that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is, it all is up. Yeah.
We try, you know, and, you know, she's always getting mad at me. What are you doing? I'm playing on the phone, right? Right?
My business.
Who are you talking to now? It's like, well, I don't really know who they are, but, you know, it's Twitter and Facebook, and, you know.
I need to get a life.
No, you need to do it, too, whatever.
Yeah, I do. I try.
Look, the bottom line is this opportunity is we are marketing and
absolutely.
And yeah. you know, again, we get it. I'm not Brad Pitt, not, you know what I mean? But it's all about making the most of this opportunity while it's here, because it'll come and go. It won't last forever. We're very fortunate. We did they officially announced about a month ago that we're going to do a season 6 up in Gloucester.
Nice.
So we know the cameras are coming. Right now, we're in the middle of, you know, negotiating for, you know, we're playing the game with them, right?
Right.
Going to do the best I can. And every season we do it, it gets better. And every, you know, so I'm very fortunate.
What are some of your, I'm going to give you, right now, let's do an opportunity to shout out to some of your big sponsors.
Oh, well, we got Accurate Reels has been there from the beginning. Seeker Rods. Now, because when this happens, you get the opportunity to work with any companies you want. And, you know, I've always been a big supporter of American made, you know, when it's possible. We can't, you know, it's supporting local communities, right? So the thing I like about Accurate is Accurate's great. They're still built here. When, you know, they've flown Nancy and I out to California to go fishing.
Factory.
You know, the same company we're going to Mexico with. We visited the factory. They did some videos of me in the factory.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So they made here.
Like
Seeker Rods. Yeah.
They
sent me back a big pile of boxes of new reels,
so
right?
God bless it.
You know, like, that's pretty cool, but American made. We have our rods, Seeker Rods, again, built in the USA, American made rods. And, you know, it's a tough act to do, right? Just like we, you know, the companies, we want to come out with a, you know, signature series of, you know, striper rods, and right? The problem is making those, you know, because sure, you can have tuna rods, but that's a high-end market. You're limiting yourself, right? And it's still something that we've been working on it for a few years, but to get, like, you know, that Captain Marciano signature rods or striper rods, to get them built in the U.S. and have them affordable so that people who, you know, my fan base, I get it, is people like us, middle America, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't have a $150 fishing pole,
right?
And that's been the hard thing to try to create.
Find that balance.
Right, because you really can. I mean, to get these rods, to have them produced, to have a line of rods like that, it you know, it's cost prohibitive to have everything built here.
Right.
But we're not giving up.
We're
just, it's going to take some creativity. And if ultimately we can't, we're going to let people know that, you know, it is what it is. It's built. But again, that's an opportunity. Then Hook Clothing, this has been a great sponsor for me.
High quality.
Now these guys I met working with Under Armour, they were part of the Under Armour fishing team, right? And
so you know
now
it's
they
quality.
Just, right, and these guys were, you know, right at the top of that. And, you know, Under Armour decided it wanted to kind of back off from fishing and focus more on the sports end of their business, right? So that's why these guys kind of broke off, started their own company, Hook Clothing, and, you know, it's been a great ride for me. It's one of those deals to be at a company right at the beginning like that, working with them, because if they get bigger, you know, it'll get bigger, the opportunity there will get bigger for me, and they've been a great bunch of guys, and we love the clothes, and you know, we just got, you know, oil, things like oil gear. It's funny, you know, we, you know, As a fisherman, we'd have one set and we'd wear it to the
holes in it, right. Patch it,
rubber cement, everything you could do.
I was steaming the boat back. She goes, more boxes of stuff came from Hawk. Because every time they get a new line, right, because it's a growing company, and of course, the whole part of the deal is they want to see me wearing it, right?
To hook you up with some gear.
I like that jacket a lot. That's sweet.
That jacket is fabulous.
Yeah, it's sharp.
Woo!
We're putting it in the pocket.
But, you know, so again, it's one of the things that always come out of it. So who else did I miss?
The knives.
Oh, yeah, Cuda brand, the knives you've seen me using. Like
oh, I was watching the show last night, and Stevie Corbett, the chum cutter.
Oh, the chum cutter, yeah, the local guy. Got to mention the local guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
That thing's great.
Yeah.
He's great. Yeah. At least my crew likes it. It's not like, it's funny though, every now and then I'll come out and cut a box. I'm going to get the camera ready. I'm going to cut some chum, yeah.
Yeah, because it's on the back of the boat. That's what your crew would do.
He had me using that on the back of the boat.
It's pretty effective. I mean, it's a pretty cool idea, isn't it?
You know, it's one of those things you thought, why didn't we think of that sooner?
Yeah.
It's simple, because there's been all kinds of fancy ones and sliding ones.
Grinders with motors and everything else.
And that one is the best, because, you know, again, because of the show, everybody sent me one of what they got,
right?
Yeah. But that little square box that Steve came up with, it's simple and effective.
Yeah.
And then you team that up, you know, because with my knife company, we get free knives and, you know,
and
it
automatic.
Oh, the chum chucker. Oh, yeah, the chum chucker. Yeah, the automatic little chumming machine. Those have been around for a while. But, like in the old days, I could never afford one of those. That was a luxury item, right? What am I
That's
getting one of those?
That's
what I'm paid for. Who paid a crew? What do I need one of those things for? Again, for the show, we get to play around with a lot of stuff. And like, again, that's been one of the cool things, even if they're not official sponsors. Like, you know, part of what happens is, you know, hey, you want to try it? You know, sunglasses, whatever, right? All I got to do is go, yeah. And they, you know, I come in from fishing and it's like Christmas. The UPS boxes are
boxes, right? Yeah.
No, and again, that's why we're very fortunate because, again,
so what's the sunglasses? I'm curious.
I like Smith's. Look, Smith Optics, right? Yeah. These have been my favorite. We've had opportunity to use them all, and no, I'm not. I want to be careful here. I don't want to throw, you know, Maui Jim or the Costas under the bus, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But given I've had the opportunity to try them all, right? Because
yeah.
I would never buy those $300.
I'm
a fisherman. I bought the $10 pair, right?
Right.
But now we get to. I do love these Smith Optics. All right.
I do love these. Really awesome.
That's these really Smith funny. Optics. Not only do I look wicked cool with them, right?
Oh, gosh.
But they have to work.
But they go all the way around.
And they're about mid-range as far as price, so they're not, the $300, and they're not the $10 pairs, but about mid-range in price, right? And you can wear them all day, and I don't get the welts, right?
Oh, yeah.
These are what, having access to any pairs, right? These are what I keep picking.
Smith Optics.
They've been great.
So it's not the dollar store sunglasses.
No, there's nothing against those, right? Look, if it weren't for the show, that's exactly what I would wear.
Those protect you.
Right. These are nice. You know, and again, given the opportunity, whatever I choose.
And you get, and that's the one.
These
you
are
pay.
Ones I keep grabbing because they're comfortable.
And you guys look good in them too. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Looks like rock stars in those glasses.
I love the enthusiasm.
Well. Thank you. You know, but again, I'm treating this whole deal with the show just like it's good fishing, and you'll understand this, right? It ain't going to last forever. So while it's here, I'm doing the best I can with it. And I think my biggest thing is in the boys at the coffee shop, right, at Zeke's, the ones who remind me, right? Just, you know, have fun with it and just, you know, don't take myself too damn seriously.
Right.
And when it's over, it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'm taking advantage of as many opportunities as I can that go along with it.
How lucky is it that you get to be the good guy, though?
I know.
Like, you know, like instead of the jerk, you know what I mean? Like, because we know who gets cast as the jerks, right? And like, geez, like, you know, so the guys that have the jerks, they probably don't have as many endorsement deals.
Yeah.
The reason they got on the show is because, they embrace this I'm an asshole kind of role. But, you know.
And they do. The ones that play the game do. You know, like Dave on the .com, right? Like he, you know, as far as, right, he's my arch enemy, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're the polar opposites. But that's what makes the show fun. But Dave gets it, right?
Yeah,
Dave gets it. We, you know, it's funny because you know, I shamed Dave into buying me breakfast all the time, right? And we're sitting at the coffee shop, and people see us, and they go, "What are you doing sitting with him?"
Right. You know? I think they're like mortal enemies.
No, when Dave gets it, he gets fun with it. Some of the other guys get a little bit carried away, I think, with the whole thing. You know, because ultimately, too, you know, it's not scripted. It's not like they hand us a script and go, "You're going to fight with him," and right? Hey, we're out there fishing. Fish are worth money, right? And elbows go up at some point, right?
Yeah.
You know, so ultimately, we give them whatever you see. We've given it to them to work with, and that's one of the things you learn, too. And it's funny, like when I have my little meltdowns. Now, remember, right?
That's not what
they love that. They love that,
it,
right?
Right. Awesome.
Now look, naturally, right? They got cameras set up, and you're like, okay, I'm not going to do this, right? You know, in your head, you're thinking, you don't want to give them something that they're going to use, right? But every now and then, again, and that's why it's reality TV.
After
things are going wrong, right? You have a meltdown, you start dropping F-bombs, right? And that's what they live for. They love those moments. They call that the money shot. And for me, it's like, God, I can't believe, you forget the cameras are rolling, because that's one thing they teach you, too, when this all starts. At least the first producer I hit on my boat was just, you know, don't try and show off. They said, if you try and be something you're not, the audience is going to pick up on that. Yep. The audience is smart, right? They said, just learn to ignore us. Learn to ignore what we're here.
Right.
That's what they drilled into our head, and that's what we've done. And, you know, again, for me, it's worked out
pretty
well.
One of the episodes, the first season, when you threw the binoculars or something,
oh,
and
yeah,
you hit Jay.
No, I didn't hit him. He ducked. They went overboard.
Yeah, they went overboard, so, like, then fan sent.
Oh, yeah, we got binoculars.
Yeah, beautiful. Those aren't inexpensive either, you know. They're like $200 a whack.
Right. No, the companies were sending us binoculars. Fans were sending us binoculars.
That's terrific.
Now that you're, you know, where you are and everybody, is it ever bothersome, like, you know, walking down and, like, if you're at a restaurant not being able to have a meal or is there something you would like to say to the fans, like, this is the way to approach me if I'm having
dinner, you know what, fans are smart, right? And they get it. And a lot of, if we're with the family and we're having dinner, right, for the most part, people, you know, are very smart, right? And they see, you know, if I have a big smile, you know, it's like the green light to go ahead. You know what I mean? But, you know, people also see, too, oh, look, he's just having dinner with his family.
Right.
And 99.9%, it's just every now and then you'll have that one guy who will just pull up and sit down at the table. And it's usually a colorful character. We get a good chuckle.
Yeah.
But look, 99, I get it. It won't last forever, right? So that's my whole philosophy, is even those times, for the moments, you know, sure, I have moments where I do wish I could shut it off.
Yeah.
Like, that's my one regret, I guess, for the show. It's, you know, I was always content being Dave the Fisherman. You've known me for a long time, right around
you
the
used
hop,
to
right?
Write, I used to write, when you used to write the articles, you know, blasting, you know, whatever you were blasting, I'm like, Dave Marcial, the real deal. And this is before the show was ever on.
Right,
and I would, like, you know, highlight on the blog, you know, like, there's no one saying it more real than Dave Marcial. I'm saying this is before he had a contract, before he had those on the show.
Just the Fisherman.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a small part of me that, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll never be just Dave the Fisherman again, right? The show has made it, you know, even this whole thing. Like, I didn't run around calling myself captain. It all became... I would never have the crew doing that, You know what I mean? Right, but that kind of comes with the show. But again, if you knew me before, I wasn't that guy running around, you know, oh, you're going to call me, you know, we're fishermen.
Yeah. But, you know, like, even now with all your success, you don't walk around with your chest puffed out.
You know what I mean? I think it's important not to. And again, I think it's the local boys, guys like you and the guys I know at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
The minute they see that, they're the ones who are going to remind me.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, the guys at the coffee shop are the worst. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, and that's a good thing, though. I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
Absolutely.
And, you know, again, I know it won't last forever, right? That's, you know.
But you embrace it while it's here.
Well, it's here. That's all, right?
Yeah.
And when it's over, it's over. Yeah. And, you know, in 10 years, I'll wonder where all the love went, and it's all, you know, because it'll run its cycle,
Nancy,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Well, no, see, Nancy's the one, too. She says, Someday she's going to write the tell-all book and tell about the feel. Yeah. That's how she's going to make her millions.
So that's when you come in, Kim, to help me write it.
But look, I mean, Cape Pond Ice with those t-shirts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still crushing those t-shirt sales. And the Perfect Storm was forever ago. Right.
Now, Cape Pond Ice, though, they carry some of our shirts there, too.
They do.
So if you're in town, if you visit Cape Pond Ice, because they give
them
to us.
Person.
Right?
Oh,
okay. Well, you can get your Cape Pond Ice shirt and your hard merchandise shirt, one-stop shopping. Yeah. As well as our shirts are in the building center, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they carry some of our shirts there. And I just want to give them a shout out, the local folks, right?
I love when I see it on the TV, you know, it's like, I want it, and I'm like, oh.
Doesn't the gift shop next to the Gloucester House have your merchandise as well?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. At the Gloucester House, they have them. I think we got to restock them too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. My sister handles the web store.
Meanie Christini?
Meanie Christini.
She loves your lobsters, and she's going to freak when we go. Right. She finds out we're here, but not bringing her any lobsters.
She's so sweet. They're all so nice. Yeah.
No, and like that's been cool about the whole thing, you know, is my sister runs a web, you know, because I was a fisherman, and all of a sudden I'm going to have a website now and hawk these shirts. She saw that coming. She goes, "Not, honey, you're not doing that. You're not going to screw that up."
Right.
You know, because she saw how I kept my books for the fishing boat.
His file cabinet.
You know what I mean? I operate out of a shoebox, not a computer.
Right.
And, you know, again, but those are one of the things that's changed in my life. We've had to change all that because everything's different. But, you know, she runs that. It was, now as far as like the Instagram and Facebook, when you see Captain Marciano, that's all me.
I was wondering about that. I wasn't going to ask you the question in case it wasn't. That's amazing.
No, I'm happy to explain it, right? It's all me when you see Captain Marciano. Now, FV Hard Merchandise, that's where I get help from the kids, right? And that's why I think I've had success, because like when this all started, they're like, you got to get a Facebook and a Twitter, right? You know, the network said, and like I knew what Facebook was, but I was going, what's a Twitter, right?
Yep.
I didn't know. But fortunately, I had the two teenagers, you know, sitting beside me on the couch, right? And it's like, literally, like those first few episodes, because you know how they like us to tweet when it's air, and my daughter Angelica would be sitting beside me, you know, saying, this is what they, and she would type, you know. So when you see the boat, that's, you know, Nancy manages that account, or, you know, what do they call it?
Admiral?
Feed.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's one has access to the account. Yeah, we call it administrator, right?
Administrator.
Right. So it's my kids and Nancy, and that way too. If I'm out fishing for 5 days, we don't have service. The kids are what who taught me to be interactive, though. That's why, like, we've had some pretty good success compared to the other captains with social media. And again, social media is part of the formula. How we get paid? It's part of the business now, right? And
so, is it amazing to you that like? Like a lot of my fishermen, some of them, you know, they're very reluctant to embrace a smartphone, very reluctant. Boom, they get a smartphone, and it's fucking off to the races. You know what I mean?
I was the same way, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
right, you're like, oh, you know, I'm like too cool for that, I'm old school. Then you're like, then you discover all the tools at your fingertips, and you're like, how did I live without this?
Right. And you know, for me, it was, you know, again, I learned really early on that, you know, that social media was a part of taking advantage of this opportunity because of the show.
It is an opportunity.
And it's an opportunity to make money. Yeah. And, you know, no matter how you slice it,
and again,
I'm not going to have a mansion in L.A., but, you know, I'm doing well for Dave the Fisherman, and I'm going to do as well as I possibly can, and I'll ride this wave till it crashes on the beach.
And to not take advantage of that is kind of being neglectful, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you're looking at it as part of the business model, right? And the tool is there.
And you're enjoying it, too. You're not putting yourself in a job that you go, oh, God help me, I'm making money, but I'm not happy. You're happy.
No, fishing has always been that way for me, too, you know, which is good. And then, you know, towards the end, is the industry is kind of, fishing industry as a whole has collapsed around us and lost it here. That's why I'm very fortunate. You know, I was ready to sell the boat. I sold my permit.
Some guys have gone insane.
Right.
I mean, there are guys that we grew up with, you know, that like that his generation and stuff like that, that
of course
were big time mentally vested in all the rules and regulations and part of from the inside, because they don't talk about this, but a lot of the people inside the fishing industry were just as responsible as Noah was.
Oh, right.
No, you know what I mean? They led the pigs to slaughter.
Right.
And And Dave was at the forefront of speaking out against this. I don't want to get too political or anything like that. But you know what I mean? It's just to see some people that can benefit, you know, after this total collapse.
Well, you're moving to, you move on. You don't...
You have to.
But he had a great opportunity.
You find another way.
And that's how you
survive. He's taking advantage of everything.
You constantly reinvent yourself and you constantly adapt.
No, like that's been one of my little pet peeves because of the show. Because you know I've always been active in the fishing industry. If in some way being a part of this can help me with that... Because ultimately, too, I support all the fishermen in this harbor, not just me. You know, my only I wish I could bring more guys along for this ride that I'm on, and you know, that's just not going to happen unless I can do it in subtle ways. And if you know, a lot of other charters are getting charters, I think, because I'm always booked, right? If they're coming to Gloucester to go fishing,
oh, huge.
You know what I mean? So whatever it is, I hope in some way this benefits to other guys. And if we do, I've kind of slacked off on that. Well, I mean, there's still fishing industry left to represent. You know what I mean? It's
a handful of boats left.
A handful of guys. But you know, if the context of that, you know, at least now, kind of, my voice means a little more than it did back then. Mm-hmm. It's just you know what I mean? Yeah. Especially being associated with National Geographic. You know, I only wish I had that 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just
voice,
think we could have
made
a difference, maybe.
Yeah,
you know?
No, absolutely.
Because if you have public support, that's the one thing the politicians are afraid of.
That's it. Yeah.
You know?
That's it. That's it. They're not going to stand in front of that freight train.
Right.
My brother's going to be so excited that I sat next to him.
Oh, yeah.
And my brother's 53.
Right.
So he's very excited.
He's 2 years older than me.
He's 10 years younger than I am. But he's going to be very excited that I was sitting next to you. But I like your enthusiasm, and I like the fact that you guys are doing this together.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, and that's been important. That's something we've had to work at, too, I think. Right? Because at first... You know, again, they were sending me here, doing this, doing that, and you know, I wasn't kind of big enough to say, "Hey, you know, Nancy needs to go too," right?
Yeah, yeah,
but now, at least now, I can get her involved as often as possible.
Italy? What city in Italy?
We're flying into Rome. I don't even know what city the tournament is. You know, I just
fabulous.
Yeah. No, there's already the custom rod builders over there. They got a rod and all the Italian, For them, the show's big in Italy. I mean, the show is Nat Geo's number one show in 171 countries in 68 in 68 different languages.
Is it? I want to hear you.
Through the website, you know, I get fan mail, right? Emails from literally around the world. We get, you know, fan letters. You know, one I always laugh about is it was a family in Pakistan, right? It's like Pakistan and. I guess the show translates into fighting Finns in that in Hindi, right? But it's funny. It was just the usual, same as any other fan letter that you get here. Hey, you're our favorite on the show. We like you, blah, 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 right? And then one thing I noticed is they complimented me on how well I speak Hindi, right? And I'm just, because...
because they don't realize that it's...
Because, no, especially, you know, that's what I've learned is being part of this in some regions... It's dubbed over in their language, right? And in other regions, it's in English, and then they have their language subtitles, right? Yeah. So apparently, though, I'm just trying to imagine what it sounds like me yelling at Jay in Hindi.
That's great.
No, no,
that's great.
It is awesome.
The whole thing has been, you know, again, it's. You hear for me, it's been a learning experience. You know, stuff.
The Italians think you over there as a wizard.
A wizard?
Not like Tuna King.
I don't know.
It's
yeah.
Tuna Wizard.
Yeah. Like that, yeah.
And your last name fits perfectly.
Oh, no, it has worked out well. And, you know, again, it's funny. For my boats, I've always flown, you know, a U.S. flag and an Italian flag, all the boats I've ever had, even long before the show. And that's definitely worked out well for me. On the show, you know, again, that's why, you know, for me it was, you know, work the American made and supporting the troops is an important thing I do, and that's all been like working with the Wounded Warrior Project, taking those guys out fishing. It's all because of the show. Those have been some amazing opportunities. You know, we did some stuff with a little boy a few years ago from Make-A-Wish Foundation, you know, doing all that stuff, right?
You go to the games.
Yeah.
You didn't find it until everyone. What perks?
No, it is. It is. And that's why, too, we're very fortunate. Because I'll be the first to admit it, it wouldn't have happened without, you know, if the show wasn't there. So, you know, I try and remember that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And try and give back whenever I can.
Yeah. That's great.
Well, guys, I'm going to point people in the direction of the website to buy product. Because that's nice, right?
FV.
Awesome. The FV hardmerchandise.com. It's very easy to remember, but don't forget the FV. And also, Google is your friend. I'm pretty sure you can just type in hard merchandise, you know, t-shirts, and it's going to come up.
Yeah.
So thank you guys, Dave and Nancy, for coming on the podcast. It's been way too long before, you know, the show's been going. And congratulations on the next season being negotiated right now.
We're excited. Season 6 is going to be in the can soon.
There you go. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Yay!
Wow.